I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Okay, so there's a TV show that you really liked that was on in like the early 2000s, and there's like a new show that's like taking from the same premise, but it's not like the exact same show, and you're watching both of them at once, and you want to talk about everything that's happening in them, but no one wants to talk to you about
Patrick?
It. Yeah.
What do you do? Are you doing a hot take right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's the beginning of an episode of Same Day Shipping. I thought we would do a hot take.
No. This is, sorry. I guess I didn't explain it very well over text.
Oh.
This is like your idea. We are actually doing a promo before an episode of our show, Welcome Back to Roswell, where we talk about the original series Roswell and the reboot, Roswell, New Mexico. But we're just using the same day shipping slot. We don't have to do a same day shipping episode.
Sure. That makes sense as to why why Kelly and Colin aren't here.
If you said why Ryan isn't here, I really would have to check on you. I would wear a mask and I would knock and stand back from your door, but I would have to check on you.
Oh, we're all doing the best we can. Okay, look, when Ryan, you did the entirety of season one, bringing different people on to like help out and talk about it. I was on a couple times, but then when season two of Roswell, New Mexico started, is also when the pandemic hit and we were all moved into our homes and told never to leave again. So you and I zeroed in on Welcome Back to Roswell, and it's the whole season is just you and me.
Yeah, it's a twosy, but for a whole season.
Yeah.
Which is honestly, it was good for us to have some continuity.
Yes.
Because the show is talking about two different shows that have characters with the same names and some of the same events, but some different events in two different time periods with two different age groups of people. So it was good that like you and I stayed the same throughout.
This one thing can stay the same.
No, but it was a really fun season. And the show Roswell, New Mexico, I believe, if not today, then this weekend, is on Netflix, so you could listen to this episode along with watching the show if we intrigue you enough.
Yes, and so this episode that you are about to hear covers both season one, episode 14 of the original series, which is Blind Date, and season two, episode one of the new series, which is called Stay.
Parenthetical,
I missed you.
Because that's one of the fun things about Roswell, New Mexico, is all the songs, all the names of episodes are 90s songs.
Yeah. Is there anything else people need to know before they start listening to this?
I think there's nothing you need to know. I think you probably should be familiar with the concept of the show Bones. because we do.
It comes up a lot.
There's some bones talk. But no, I think if you like same day shipping and you like, especially, I mean, for me, it's me geeking out about one of my favorite shows of all time.
Yeah.
And then also discovering, another show with you. So like, it's, I think if you dig those dynamics of same day shipping, I think you would dig it.
Yeah, it's got like elements of Hellmouthy to it in that regard. And also, look, are we going to talk about Star Wars too much? Probably. Are we going to talk about theme parks too much? Probably. Is it going to be like a not in real time exploration of you and I going crazy in quarantine? Absolutely.
But, you know what? Honestly, if you've been wondering, hey, how are Patrick and Ryan doing in quarantine? This is really your closest and most honest reflection of that that you can get. Because if you asked me, I wouldn't tell the full truth.
No.
But on this show, somehow
it just comes out. and we will be back with a regular episode of Same Day Shipping next week.
I don't know if we should say two relationships or what we should say. Or howdy partner. That doesn't even pay off for many hours.
let's just do it the other way. Hey guys, two relationships.
Roswell, New Mexico is back, guys. So that means another episode of Welcome Back to Roswell. This week we're going to be talking about Blind Date, the 14th episode of the first season of Roswell, 1999. OMG, guys. This is the one where Max gets drunk, in case you didn't remember. It's a delight. You also get the first performance of the Wits. Maybe the last performance of the Wits, but definitely the notable performance of Alex Whitman's band, the Wits. As well as the season 2 premiere of Roswell, New Mexico, which was flippin' crazy. It's so good. I can't wait for you to hear what we have to say about it. Honestly, I can't wait to just keep talking about this show every week. I love these shows, guys. I don't know. I hope that comes clear. Also, this season, we have a special bonus, and that bonus is that our boy Patrick is going to be my co-host throughout the season. It's going to be great to have someone week to week who's just as jazzed on these shows as me. So check it out. Okay. Would you like to be the first questioner or the second questioner?
I will be the first questioner, if that's all right.
Sure.
Okay. What is the name of the original singer in Alex's band?
Pam Conroy. That's not right, but that is a name that's been on this show before. Question two.
Go.
Who replaced that singer for the Blind Date concert?
Well, that's got to be Maria.
Very nice.
What two enemies found a common bond in this episode?
They must be referring to Kyle and Max.
I would assume romantic rivals.
Yes. Number four, what was the name of Liz's blind date?
I believe his name is Doug Shello.
Very nice.
How many sips of alcohol did it take for Max to get drunk?
One small one. We did it. Pop quiz.
We did do it. Although I don't know that we got the first one right.
I think we definitely got it wrong, and it's not always easy to find the answers. Oh, here's what her name is. Okay, Wendy Lovely.
Wendy Lovely. I don't get how these questions can be, like, one question is like, tell me this minor detail mentioned in an offhand way, and like that's one, and then another one is what two enemies found a common bond in this episode.
What is the B plot? Is what that one is.
Name two enemies on this show.
Yeah, we don't, especially right now on the show, there's not a lot of enemies.
No, not a ton.
There's two, Kyle and Max. Yeah, I think they wanted, here's my problem with it, is I feel like they often with these questions, the questions are not in order of difficulty.
No, because we were hit with the most difficult one first.
Yes, and then maybe the one of the easiest ones second, because who replaced, of course, Maria, that's, again, that's that's one of the plots.
That's the whole story.
That could have been in the description on Hulu. But we've got more to talk about than just the choices by Paul Rudditz in the Roswell pop quiz, because this is season two of Welcome Back to Roswell. And we're kicking off by talking about the episode from original Roswell called Blind Date. I'm one of your hosts, Ryan Mogie.
And I'm your second host. What?
Patrick Ellis?
What?
It's happened. We have a consistent second host. Patrick volunteered to go deep into Roswell every week.
I'm here. I'm in it. I'm in it for the long haul.
I think it's just you wanted to see more of that Jeep.
I mean, of course, I always want to see more of that Jeep. That Jeep is my reason for being. I didn't know until I started watching the show about a year ago that I need more of that Jeep in my life, but I do. Man.
We both got so excited to see the Jeep when it came on this episode.
We did. So because we are under quarantine conditions, we had to watch it separately but together. Like we're maintaining.
Yeah, and it worked out. Yeah. Like we had little commentaries and we watched it in our separate locations. Thank you, Hulu, for allowing us to simultaneously stream. Yeah. But yeah,
I don't know why we're not living in an age where like co-watching stuff is easier.
It should be.
It should be second nature if like we should be able to have friends on Hulu, right? Like you should be my friend on Hulu, and then we should just be like, oh, yep, we're watching at the same time. And then even if we have to do like the voice chat part of it, like through something else, just being able to time it exactly the same, and then we could like. Oh, comment on the same funny commercials that we're getting or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's easier.
That should be easier. I also just had a thought, and it's either the most obnoxious or the most fun. I should be able to record a video review of every episode of a thing I watch on Hulu. And then when you watch Hulu, you could choose whether or not to watch my little video response 100%. To episode 3 of High Fidelity.
Yes, totally. Because look, all these platforms want us rating and reviewing stuff anyway, right? Why can't they be hilarious little video reviews?
It would be amazing. All right. Well,
probably because they have to screen them for content, and then like some poor soul is going to have to watch them to make sure there's no child sexual abuse in any of the video reviews. Because we live in a nightmare world.
We do live. All right. We live in a world of dreams and nightmares.
That's right.
Like Liz in this episode, the dream of people randomly picking you to be on a blind date.
Okay, so the entire premise of this episode is strange. It is all kicked off by this radio DJ who is very obviously an actual radio DJ. He's got
it. You know how we know? Because he's got radio voice.
Mm-hmm. And radio face.
Yeah.
And like it a nice radio bald spot in the back of his head too.
It's very Wayne's World 2, where you discover that what you imagine radio people to look like is not what their voices sound like.
No, not yes. This is correct.
But no, he's very excited about his current promotion that he's doing, where they ambush a teenage girl at her place of work. And tell the world she's going to go on a blind date and then set her up, not to get too far ahead, but to set her up then with a college student, which is also a little presumptuous.
Yeah, I mean, he's a freshman, so like that's something.
It is something, but I just feel like she is very mature for her age.
Yes. But also like a college student and a high school student, like it's a strange pairing. And like it is It's really just weird for the DJ to be like so invested in what's going on in a high school girl's romantic relationship. Like that's just it's just weird.
But it's also funny. It has a very, to me, it's the same like weird sense of humor as the guy who runs the UFO center.
Yeah, sure.
Or the couple that we saw last week who actually I think moved to Roswell last week, but we haven't seen them since. But like the couple who's super, they're adults and they're super obsessed with the convention scene. Like it's this weird energy that these adults in Roswell have sometimes where they are wackier than the teen hijinks that we're supposed to be watching. This guy is a weirdo.
Here's the thing. You said that moved there last week and I was like, oh yeah, I guess episode 13 wouldn't have aired 1 week before this episode, but it has been like 8 months since I've even
it has been a lot of time. Remember there's a big convention and Michael dressed like a wrestler and everyone was moving in slow motion. It was weird.
This show really likes doing slow motion, like just slowing down regular film, like that they have not filmed in slow motion.
There's slow motion in this episode, both for romance-y stuff,
and
drunken
for magic
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the big dramatic reveal at the end, but we don't have to get there yet.
No. Let's work our way through it. So,
okay.
The DJ shows up, like you said, ambushes her at work. And like I think when he first shows up, he's got his whole posse with him then, right?
Yes.
So he's got like a whole production team, way more than he's going to need for radio.
No, there are multiple cameras, both still photography and video is being taken at all times.
Yeah.
There's a boom mic later.
So like the question is, why isn't this like a reality like TV show? Like why isn't a TV show? Why is he expressly a radio DJ?
I was wondering about that, like, because by this time, reality TV, like, dating shows existed. Love Connection had been out for 20 years.
Yeah.
Studs existed, like,
I mean,
the show Blind Date.
Mm-hmm. And like, Singled Out, and, you know, like, it seems, and maybe, like, that's really, like, the crux of it is that, you know, we're not in a place that like MTV would have been connected to, right? Like we're not in New York, we're not in LA, we're in Roswell. So it has to be someone that would have the same sort of sensibilities, but located in a place as remote as Roswell, New Mexico.
Yeah. And again, to go back to like how the weirdness of this DJ guy, he probably pitched this because he really wishes he was working in reality TV in a big city.
Oh, that's true. That's...
But he was like, this is my show. Blind Date.
Here's the thing. He like he gets it done. He finds like a pretty good guy.
Oh, he finds a good guy? He gets a concert with Smash Mouth or someone?
How? Okay, we're not there yet, but it's
okay. Sorry,
it's such a shitty development that like the big band that they're teasing the whole episode simply doesn't show up.
How about the development?
Right?
And again, I'm jumping ahead to that end of that storyline, but they make a big deal that the record execs are there to see. Hey, guess what? The next time we see record execs, third season, and they're unrelated to this. How do you build that whole plot? Then you have Maria perform and sound good.
Well, the whole Maria story is strange because she comes in like so confident, right? And like obnoxiously confident, like changes everything and then like freaks out as soon as there's a crowd. Like I thought she said that she sings karaoke, like people watch karaoke too. I just, the whole thing, it just, I don't know. It doesn't feel real to me.
This episode is a weird.
It's a weird
dream.
One.
So, okay, but to take a few steps back, so not only that is Maria joining a band and taking over and all this stuff, she joins her best friend Alex's band.
And sort they of act against like, his will.
Yeah, she forces her way into his band. He was looking for a professional, He puts up a sign in the outdoor cafeteria at the high school to find a professional singer.
So he, of course, he's going to get applicants will be in high school or like the choir teacher, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, that would have been a funny twist if Maria got bumped for the choir teacher.
That would have been great.
Oh, man.
Maria shows up to the band practice with she says, I'll bring my charts, which like is, you know, musician parlance for I'm bringing sheet music or like, mm-hmm. you know, written out music in some form or another. But in like a rock or pop ensemble, you're almost certainly going to be just be giving people chords, right? Like
right.
Chords and lyrics. And like she's got actual legitimate sheet music. Yeah. Like they're going to play a goddamn sonata together.
But isn't that how Phil Collins writes all his songs?
I don't think so.
There's no chords in Phil Collins.
It just, yes. It rang false to me is what I,
yes.
what
I said. Okay, what was your feeling? Because you've been in bands, not to reveal you, your personal life.
I have been in bands. I was in a Lost band. We only wrote and performed songs about the TV show Lost. We were called Sonic Weapon Fence, and we were great. We're still on Spotify. You can check it out.
Yeah, very good stuff. How did you
feel? It was a question. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to gear up to, because yes, it's unrealistic that she would show up with the sheet music. She was obviously not fitting in. I do feel like there's something fairly realistic with how the rest of the band is irritated with her and then kind of just shrugs. It's like, fine, we just want to play.
Let's do this. I do think that is the thing. Two things about that are true. Is that like when you have a band and like someone new comes in and starts like trying to call shots, no one liked it. Right.
Right.
That one thing is true and it is obvious. But the other thing that is true and maybe not obvious is that when you're trying to put together a band in high school, truly no one wants to be in your band, right? Like people will always say like, oh yeah, or at least this is something that I experienced a lot playing bass in high school and college. People being like, oh yeah, we should start a band. It's just a thing that people say. No one actually wants to do it because it's a lot of work.
It's work.
And it sucks. If you get gigs, they're terrible. They sound bad. You sound bad. You probably don't get paid. Like, it is largely no fun being in bands.
Oh, no. So that's all real then.
It's fun from time to time. So, it did feel real that they were like, okay, well, whatever. We got a singer. Here's someone who has agreed to sing with us.
Yes. So
that's real.
And then not only that, it's going to be, they book the show. She shows up late. Oh, this was, you said you bookmarked that we needed to talk about.
I did.
She comes in. She's like, it's all about the attitude. She shows up late to perform for the audition.
And this was triggering for me.
Oh no.
Well, so here's the thing. Whenever you're in, and you know, you've experienced this too in like doing comedy, that like people want to adopt like a sort of like punk rock attitude towards something like punctuality or attendance.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, like we all decided to do this. Like, let's be punk on stage, or let's be rebellious in some other form. But like, let's be where we plan to be at the time we plan to be there. So the specific story relates to a Sonic Weapon Fence performance. Mm-hmm. We were playing at an art gallery in Madison, Wisconsin. And Madison, most of the band members were living in Chicago at the time. So this is like, it's not a super long drive, but it's, you know, maybe like a 4.5-5 hour drive. Mm-hmm. And it was in like February or March or something. So it was like snowy and, you know, like it was an ordeal to get there. And, you know, we are playing this show, and we had been put in touch with a band that just played songs, or we perceived it to be a band,
mm-hmm.
who just played songs just played songs about Seinfeld, and he was called the Soup Nazis, right?
Okay.
And so we're like, okay, great. This'll be fun. You want to open for us? He was mm-hmm. they're gonna play like 3 or 4 songs, and then we were gonna play like an hour.
Okay, perfect.
And so, you know, after we get this set up, it's like, oh, okay, it's really just this one dude, Doug. He comes with like a backing track and he sings these songs. We're like, okay, weird, but you know, whatever.
Yeah.
This is what we're doing. It's a 2 TV themed bands in an art gallery. This is what's happening.
Yeah.
And so, you know, with something like the show starts at 8 o'clock, and we're like, okay, Doug, the doors are going to open at 7 and the show is going to start at 8. And so, you know, it's 7 o'clock and we're there and we're setting up. Doug's not around. Doug's not calling or answering texts or anything. We're like, okay. Well, you know, maybe he's not coming. Like it is snowing. Like maybe it's too much for him to come out. And we get closer and closer to 8 o'clock. It's like 8:05. It's 8:10.
Oh,
it's quarter after 8. And we're like, okay, fuck it. We're just going to have to like take the stage. So we play maybe 3 songs when I see this dude come through the door. Like
what?
So I'm playing on stage and I can see him walk through the front door of the venue. He kind of like waves and like, I recognize that it's him. And so like we finish the song and I'm like, hey, the soup Nazis are here. And I was like, on, you know, from the stage, because I couldn't hold it in, was just like, hey, where were you? And he goes, I thought we were on rock and roll time.
No.
Yep. I thought we were on rock and roll time.
I am filled with the rage of the soup Nazi. I want to tell him no music for you.
Yeah, no show for you.
Forever.
But we
were on rock and roll time?
It's so obnoxious. Like, also, what are you talking about? You're like one dude with a boombox. Like, what do you mean we're on rock and roll time? We're playing in an art gallery in Madison, Wisconsin.
Well, and did he think that you told him what time to be? Like,
yes, yes.
It's not like you. Who? What?
I don't know.
Oh my god.
So we played half a set, and then he played his 3 songs, and then we closed out. Yeah.
I feel like I would just have stonewalled it. I think I would have tried to improvise a song right then about an asshole who talked about being on rock and roll time.
Here's the thing. If that had happened on Lost, we would have written a song about it, but it did not.
Unfortunately, there were a lot of dicks on Lost. None of them were that big of a dick.
They're all punctual.
Okay, let's not go too far. There is no way Sawyer has ever showed up for anything on time in his life.
And
Lafleur, but not Sawyer.
Lafleur definitely keeps a tight schedule. I would guess that Charlie's late for stuff.
Yeah, I mean, but he was also a drug addict. He's got a lot going on.
Great point.
Okay, but let's talk about we're not going to talk about your favorite show. We're here to talk about my favorite show.
My bad.
Okay. So no, I'm so glad I got to hear about Thought We Were on Rock and Roll Time. I mean, it makes me very mad, but I can put it in the hopper of things to just grind my gears.
Yeah, when you just want to be mad about something, that's a really good one. Rock and roll time.
And lately, there's just not been enough for me, so. Okay, so we've got Maria and Alex. This is, I think, one of his bigger plots that he's ever gotten to have.
Yeah, I was actually surprised to see so much Alex, because like, I feel like every time I've been on this show previous, you've been like, no, Alex is he's really a character. He's really on the show. And I'm like, I don't believe you.
Which is valid. Like, there's this plot. He gets more as we go, I think. Yeah, he gets to do more as the series continues. But yeah, they didn't really know what to do with him. And then right now, he is the only one who doesn't. And we talked about this on an episode of Same Day Shipping. But he is the only one who doesn't know the alien secret. Other than, I mean, Kyle doesn't either. But he doesn't know the alien secret. So he's also on the outs that way. It's very hard to be the human who doesn't know the secret.
No, and it's just in like there's no. It's one of those things that can only be justified on a TV show. That like if all of your friends were keeping one huge secret from you, that it would be the most hurtful thing when you found out.
It would be hurtful, and also if you're teenagers too, I think you would just grow apart.
Yeah, totally.
Like you would, which is okay, but you couldn't. That you can't do that with characters on a TV show, but like. You could just it could just be like a a Millie from Freaks and Geeks situation.
Sure.
Just like it, you know, we used to be friends.
That's your other podcast.
I know. I can't stop ones. I like too many things and I talk about them.
Hey man, me too.
Okay, so that's plot. That's I think the C plot, but that's one of the plots.
Yes.
We have blind date. Music band thing, and then we have Kyle and Max on the streets.
Yes.
So Max is sad that Liz is going on a date, but he's kind of always sad when he's not. He's kind of always sad.
He's just kind of always sad. I mean, look at his sweaters. You can tell he's always sad.
And you can tell, like, he doesn't have the kind of sweaters that have a hole in the thumb, but he definitely, like, grips it with his hand and, like, has worn through part of the sweater with his thumb, his fingers, his fists of sadness. But so he's laying in bed listening to one of many boomboxes. There are so many boomboxes in this episode.
It's an embarrassment of boomboxes. And you and I were saying this before, like while we were watching the episode, that we can't remember owning boomboxes that didn't have CD players on them.
Yeah, it's weird. And
none of these did, right?
No,
they were all just like the tape deck kind.
Radio and tape deck, which I remember using a boombox. Like I'm old enough that I made mixtapes, and I definitely used the radio to record to a tape. So like I recognize, but I always had right on top a little CD holder.
Right, and I was frequently taking the songs from that CD and putting them on a tape so I could listen to them. In my car.
Exactly. Or in someone else's car when I was a kid.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or on my Walkman. But they did have a Walkman. I wasn't always a Discman kid. I had a Walkman at a certain point. But yeah, that was weird. How many boomboxes to see? And also, it's just weird because boomboxes have really left our culture to a large extent.
Yeah, now, I mean, obviously, it's all been replaced by, like, Bluetooth speakers.
Right. But they're not as cool as boomboxes.
No, boomboxes are some of these boomboxes are huge. Like
yes.
They all take up a lot. Too big to carry on your shoulder.
Yes. They're also like notable boomboxes. The fact that we will never see all these boomboxes again, like somebody had to go to a stereo store and buy a bunch of boomboxes and then return them when this episode was done shooting.
You want to know what my theory is?
What's my theory?
Is that the radio DJ guy, who again is obviously an actual radio DJ, brought them from the studio.
Boom. You're right. That's what it is. That's how they got the AV stuff.
I think he also brought his own headphones because in that scene where he's like interviewing Liz, she's wearing like more like they're like filming quality headphones, and his are very obviously like real radio headphones, and he's wearing them with like the one ear on and one ear off. Like he's wearing, I think again, those are his headphones from the office. And they were like, can you bring some boom boxes? And he was like, no problem. I got a ton.
Let me fill up the back of the Jeep. I think this is a great theory. I co-sign. So, so Max is sadly listening to a boombox like he does everything. And then he hears a noise outside and it's his enemy, Kyle, who has drunkenly drove over to say hi.
Well, to like invite him to the concert?
Yes, he has tickets. He has extra tickets to the concert.
Right.
So he's and trying Kyle's, to make up.
Kyle's not alone here either. He's got like the rest of his boys.
Yeah, he's got a bunch of like jock guys in Letterman jacket. So they're all like, let's go. And And Max is like, I'm a pass. And then Kyle's like, but we're all drunk. How are we going to get there? We need a designated driver.
And this is the beginning of the Kyle actor? What's the actor's name?
Nick Wexler, I think is how you pronounce it.
This but is Nick. The beginning of Nick Wexler acting drunk for half a goddamn hour on this show.
Yep. And he's not bad.
No, he's not. Like, especially as far as like TV drunk goes.
Yeah.
He's largely believable. Isn't mm-hmm. like crazy over the top. Like Max is a little bit here and there where you're like, all right, you know, cool it. But also he's an alien. So like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, like kind of respectable drunk acting.
I honestly, Kyle is an underdog who I like. He comes through in this series as one becomes one of my favorites.
Yeah.
The performances are pretty grounded and they go to some interesting places with him. I was thinking about it and because we have a little, and I'm not sure I'd go all the way to like calling it gay panic jokes, but
yeah,
there are like
a couple
beats
here.
And it's like weird.
Uh-huh.
And it makes me wish, and the next show we'll watch at Broswell has openly gay and pan and bi characters, but like I wish that we could have just, I was like, oh, you know what, if Kyle was gay, that would have been a more interesting storyline to this, like especially because his relationship with or if he was bi, like if he was attracted to Max and that was part of his thing, that would have been interesting. That's not what they're doing. But no. I was like, that would have been more interesting than like, Max, you trying to come out to me? It's like, what? Is that a joke?
Well,
it's not a funny one.
And Max's comeback of like, oh, you really are a jackass. Where it's like, all of this sucks, you know?
Yeah. And I think the show is of its time and blah, 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 blah. But also it's just like, it's like, why? If you can't swim in the sea, don't wade into the water. Like, what are you doing?
I mean, the thing is, they're just making jokes about it, right? Like,
right, but not even like with punchline. Like,
no, that's true. There's like the half punchline later when the radio DJ is like, "We could break into Liz's bedroom somehow," and we see Doug in the bed with another man.
Yeah, and then they hit it again. Another man.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Look, this episode is over 20 years old at this point.
It is over 20 years old, and I don't feel like, because it feels to me similar to some of the humor on the television show Friends.
Yes.
In that weird, but that show I think went further and more ways that I like fully denounce and want to come like against. And this is just like, show, you could have been better then. And I think if you were made now, you would be better.
Yeah. Well, and as evidenced by the fact that the show is being made now and it is better in that regard.
True. That does help.
Yeah.
It helps to know for sure.
Makes the hypotheticals really easy when you have evidence.
Literally the same characters. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we find out that Kyle in the other show is bi this season. These are some fluid characters. I love it.
I'm excited to get to it.
I know. Okay. So Max sips tiny bit of vodka and he gets way drunk from a sip of vodka. Apparently alien physiology makes you super drunk from a little bit of alcohol.
Right. And again, I thought that Kyle was roofying him.
Yes. Again, that might have been more interesting. Like, I mean, not roofing him for...
To take advantage of him.
To take advantage of him. Yeah. But like, it could have been roofing him so that he would, he could have been like, my dad says this is how you get the truth out of people or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Or even just to fuck with him. Like, I think that would be cool too. Of like... Oh yeah, you were like looking down on us for drinking. Like I fucking roofied you, asshole. Like that. Even that's more interesting.
Yeah, they didn't go. What they went for is Max. He draws a heart with his initials and Liz's initials and puts it on her on her balcony.
And Kyle, evidently too fucked up to recognize that he did it without a can of paint.
Yep. And it's glowing. So.
Right. All these things are
Kyle,
remarkable.
You dumb.
But not being remarked upon.
Nope. He also makes pretty lights, and he dances or stands with Liz under the pretty lights mm-hmm. while the car alarms go off to show how he feels inside when he's with her.
Here's the thing. He also does my favorite alien magic ever, which is where he replaces in a photograph of Liz with her friend.
It's pretty
great. He replaces the faces of the other people with his face.
I hope he didn't change it back. I hope that she gets home after this crazy night and just is like, what?
It's wild. It is wild.
It's pretty great, though.
Yeah. No, it's very
the
fun.
The show is goofy on purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah, so except for the other storyline that we haven't really talked, there's not much to say about it. Michael and Isabel burn some grass in not in the fun way. They literally light a rope on fire on top of some grass in the library parking lot in order to summon the fourth alien.
And someone, maybe the fourth alien, maybe not, sees the signal later. But, like, they're disappointed, right, when, like, he doesn't show up immediately.
Yeah, they thought he was going to show up immediately, so they clean up, and then the mysterious figure in the trench coat shows up, lights everything on fire, takes a picture of the alien, and puts it in the fire. So no one will see that there was a picture of the alien.
It's not clear what he's doing.
It's not.
It's also not clear to me how they clean up.
They wave their hand.
And then all the grass is fine.
And then all the grass is fine. So now now all the grass is going to be messed up.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So maybe they'll notice that and then also see ashes. And they'll be like, I bet these ashes were from a picture of us.
Well, the weird thing is it's a picture of Liz with two Maxes.
Hey! Michael would be so pissed. Two Maxes and no Michael?
I guess we did kind of gloss over the blind date story, like the A story, I guess.
Yes. Liz is on a date with this guy, Doug. He's a dud, but he's not a bad guy. He's just...
Yeah, he's just not either of her two guys.
Right, and he's definitely in first date mode.
Yes.
And he kind of does a little of the, like, you're not like other girls thing to her, which I think does probably work on a good percentage of first dates. I find it to be a red flag.
Right.
When you're on a date with someone, they just can't wait to tell you about all the other women they don't like. And then it's like, is that, we gotta do that? Okay, cool. He hates that all the girls in his archaeology program are trying to achieve things. They all want to make discoveries.
Ugh.
I got into archaeology to find out what other people discovered.
I wish I could meet a girl who just wanted to listen to me talk about Radiohead. He's a college freshman, right?
He is. Yeah. No, it was perfect.
The one cool thing that he does do, though, is that he, like, helps them get away from the radio station. Like, he can sense either he's uncomfortable with it or he can sense that she's uncomfortable with it.
Yes.
And I thought that was a pretty rad move where he's like, hoo, 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 and then, like, they get away.
No, yeah, he helps them escape. And then, he wants a normal first date. He's like, let's just eat nachos or whatever he wants to eat. And he's like, let's just talk and spend time together.
Where do they go?
They go to the crash down.
So he takes her to the restaurant
to her
she
job.
Works in?
Uh-huh. That her parents own. So it's her house.
I cannot advise this course of action.
No, it was a bad move, especially to sit out in the dining room.
Yes.
Because there is like a back room, like a break room area, or her bedroom where they eventually end up. But like, yeah, it's not...
It's not, it's not romantic. And also, like, of course the radio station is going to find you then.
Yeah, it's the most obvious place. And there's big glass windows.
Yeah, so, I mean, maybe he's not the best archaeologist. If he was a better archaeologist, he would have had a better place for them to go.
Well, and he's only a freshman archaeology major.
This is a great point.
So he may not graduate an archaeology major. He may have to make some shifts.
I like the idea that an archaeologist is also good at finding restaurants.
Undiscovered restaurants.
Hey, it's a pre-Yelp world, baby.
It would be so funny if you got hired at, like, Eater LA, and at your first staff meeting, like, Indiana Jones comes in. It's like, I find the undiscovered. Oh. I mean, honestly, any job, your first day of Indiana Jones shows up, it's a pretty good day.
Yes, unless he's in, like, professor mode. And even that's...
Yeah, or if you're a Nazi. Those are the two bad times to see Indiana Jones.
First day as a Nazi, man.
It's really rough.
Oh.
But no, I don't think Doug will ever be Indiana Jones level.
No, I think that's a pretty safe bet. And then Doug just kind of like fades off into the distance as it becomes clear that Liz and Max have stuff to work out. And Max like kind of spills his heart out. Being like, here's we should run away together. All I need in this world is you. I can do all my crazy alien magic. I don't care if anyone sees because it means we're in love, whatever. And then when he sobers up later by kissing her, is the kissing what makes him sober up?
I think so. I think it's also, and the show hasn't, I think since the pilot hasn't really like been explicit about this, but the show will be more explicit as we go on. When they kiss, they are like sharing memories that they don't both. They're like giving each other memories,
okay,
or visions or images.
Sure. So they're like sharing a mental state, maybe.
Yes, and so I think it's the visions, and in this one, I don't think we've seen it before. We may have, or it may be the one that Michael was referencing. But we both see, a bunch of symbols that we've seen before, like alien symbols. And then we also see a cluster of stars in the sky, a specific constellation that has significance in the show.
Is it the same constellation that they were burning the symbol under?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. All right.
But that constellation becomes more. So I think it's that. Yes, I think it's the kiss, but I think it's the kiss triggers these flashes. And then I think the flashes cleared his mind is read of it as a person who's seen this episode 20 times.
Right. It's not even just clears his mind. It almost seems to like reset him. Right. Cause he's like, he doesn't even remember what he was saying when he was drunk.
Yes.
All right.
It's pretty sad.
Yeah.
It's sad for Liz because I think because he broke up with her or he said they couldn't be together. She was accepting that. She's trying to move on. He shows up. She tries to help him. He pours his heart out. It's so romantic. He convinces her to, you know, give him a chance or however you want to say it. And then he is
takes
back.
It yeah.
It sucks to be Liz. Episode.
Yeah.
So she wears so... Oh, we have to talk about the glitter. She wears a lot of glitter. It moves around her face like... It has a mind of its own. It's great.
It's also alarming to see her like dressed up for a date, because her makeup is so much less dramatic than it normally is.
Yes, it's very like she looks like an actual 16-year-old in 1999 getting ready for prom.
Yeah, which is like, just so weird.
I agree. And then Maria is wearing weird chokers, some of which were making you feel very uncomfortable.
Yeah, the first choker that she's wearing felt like it was just too much resting like on. It made me very aware of my own throat, you know? Like I'm holding my throat right now, it feels right. Darn it.
Yeah, I think they really wanted her to have the pop star vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this. And then at the end, like, she does have the pop star vibe. She sings a Phil Collins mm-hmm. song, and like seemingly does a pretty good job of it. But like, that's just the end of the episode.
Yes. I mean, I think, I don't know. I know that the actress, like, during this show had a record deal and had songs. So later in the series, that actress's songs are on episodes or in show.
Oh,
in the show.
Okay.
So I think they knew they had a talent.
Like when Leighton Meester started putting out records, and they were like, well, she's got to sing on Gossip Girl now.
Yes, that's yeah. what it's like. But I think they could have. I don't know why we didn't just have Maria be in Alex's band.
Yeah, this is a great question.
And then when it's time to perform for this thing, she says, well, let's do pop music. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, the story as it is doesn't work, but like the pieces are all fine. Like,
and the payoff of her, I mean, this to me is not a landmark episode. Like, it's a good episode, but it's not one that I'm always like, oh, I can't wait to get to Blind Date. But it's like the payoff is that she sings the Phil Collins song at the end. So it's like, you just have to get to that part. She's got yeah. a pretty voice. Like,
she does have a pretty voice, and it's a fun moment. That's a nice song.
Yeah, I mean, isn't it about a dead kid, though? Or dead bus full of kids?
Could be. I do not know.
All right. I'm going to look that up between recordings. But, okay, so we are left in the cliffhanger of Trenchcoat Guy.
Yes.
But everything that we've talked about over the past 43 minutes is meaningless for the second half of this episode of the podcast.
Awesome. I'm excited. I'm excited to get back to Roswell, New Mexico.
Yay. Okay. Well, we'll do that in just a moment.
Okay. Everything happened in that episode.
Oh my God. It was crazy.
We're both broken. This episode broke us.
Okay, we can just start with where we left off last season and just, okay, so at the end of last season, Max has saved Rose's life.
Uh-huh.
He pulled her out of a pod and gave her life, and it drained him of his life force. So the last thing we saw was Max is dead.
Yes. And Rosa is alive.
And
that's and like a big, but I feel like, okay, so that is such like a big kind of like shift in what the show like fundamentally is mm-hmm. that I like we got a shift just as big, maybe a couple of them in this episode.
I know.
Like, episode one is as paradigm yeah. shifting as the season finale of the previous season.
And I still have no idea what's next.
No.
Like, I mean, I have no idea.
I mean, it seems like we're going to pit sister against sister, and mm-hmm. Rose is going to, like, doubt herself the whole way. It's going to be awesome.
No, yeah, and Rosa, like, we had seen bits of her last season in flashbacks, and she was really likable, but now that we're seeing her interact with more characters, I'm like, I love Rosa even more.
No,
I'm like,
she's,
I'm 100% in.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, real time sister dynamic, amazing. Mm-hmm. I love it. I just want more of that.
Yes. And I mean, she has to be the person doing the graffiti around town, right?
Maybe.
I think she's the graffiti bandit. And I hope that that's how either her father or Maria find out, but that's that. I thought that was the thing I cared most about this episode, and I even told you it was making me uncomfortable.
Yeah,
because we didn't deal with it at all. It's still not dealt with.
No, she's just secretly alive,
and Liz is like already okay. So when we start, it's only been a couple weeks, maybe a week.
Noah is having
mm-hmm. a funeral for Noah, and Liz is planning her trip to drive to Palo Alto to start her next career move.
Right. And the way that, like, the information is doled out here is a little strange and, like, a little disorienting. Because, mm-hmm. like, we see Isabel, like, giving the eulogy, where everyone in the crowd believes it's for Noah, but it's obviously she's giving a eulogy for
yes.
Max. But at this point, we don't really know where they left things or, like, what mm-hmm. what they've told everyone else. Because, like, as I'm watching her do that, I'm like, I'm under the assumption that they were like, that they told everyone that both Max and Noah died. But instead, they're just like, no, I don't know. Max went away. He's sending weird text messages, I guess.
Abrupt text
and
messages abrupt. To his mother. So I think that we're to believe Michael is writing them, I think.
that tracks.
But yeah, and so, but okay. Oh my God, there's so much to talk about because I could just spend 20 minutes probably just talking about how amazing Isabel's funeral outfit is for her husband.
Oh, she is mourning in style.
I know! It's
a sparkly, curvy dress.
Yes, a fantastic chapeau on top. Yep. She looks great. Oh man.
Okay, we were talking about it a little bit during the episode, but like when she and Liz have this like fight, mm-hmm. Was that a staged fight? They knew they had to have so that people would be like, ah, okay, yes, Max really did leave town because they're fighting about it.
I think so. I think they had at the reception, whatever you call the hangout after the funeral.
I think hangout is correct.
The hangout. At that, yes, there's the big fight. I think it is for Max's mom's perspective, Max's mom, and for the sheriff. I think it's to show because the sheriff is acting suspicious already.
Yeah. The thing is, Liz leaves that, like, their fake fight upset. Because she, like, talks to Michael in the parking lot. And
well, Michael
like,
knows.
Yeah, no, I know Michael knows, but like she still seems it seemed to me like she was rattled by the fight she just had with Isabel. But maybe it's just like you get, you know, you're so thrown into like the make believe of it. You're using real emotion. So like you're upset anyway. Maybe that's
yes, I think that's what it was supposed to be. I think we were supposed to see that throughout the episode, Liz is not as able to control her emotions as she would like to be. She's pretty devastated about Max's death.
Yes.
Which, I mean, it is one of those things where she is, I think that was even the description on the CW app was like, Liz is torn between joy over Rose's life and sorrow over Max's death. It's like, yeah, no, that's pretty much where she is. But it's like, I don't know. I don't know if it's just that the darker emotions are always going to pull you under, but
I mean, I don't know. Like one of the things that I like about Liz is that even when she's like stressed out or sad or whatever, that she, like she had that whole sort of like a Liz Warren campaign ad speech at the end of this thing. Where
I kind of liked it.
I liked it too. I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I liked Elizabeth Warren. And, you know, so that like when she is beaten down or like, you know, met with an impossible task that she's just like, she can buckle down and like turn that into focus. And mm-hmm. I think that's interesting to see that sort of juxtapose against Isabel, who like tries. That she's like, I've been training and I can break more plate.
I know.
But like, it's not going to be her magic powers that bring Max back. It's gonna be, Liz's either like stem cell research. I don't know what exactly she was alluding to. But like, she's going to use science to bring it back.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's kind of one of Isabel's things, right? She has that connection with Max by being twins or whatever. And that they, you know, like they are connected in alien ways.
Right.
But Liz, yeah, Liz can get things done. I mean, it was kind of pathetic. And Isabel is great, like, and the performance is great throughout the episode, but it's pretty pathetic when she's breaking Crystal and then she's like, yeah, I'm going to bring Max back by exploding him. What are you going to do, Isabel?
It does not seem like a one for one kind of thing.
No, because like her and her main power is not exploding things. I mean, I guess telekinesis, you can go different ways, but like her main power is mind control. So maybe she should work on controlling minds really well and then she can wake Max up. But no, she's literally exploding stuff.
The funniest part of the episode for me was Michael just like shaking the glass out of his out of his hat. As if to be like, all right, well, this is pointless.
Oh man, Michael's having an adventure in this episode. He shows up late to the funeral drunk.
Just stumbling on in.
Just stumbling on in.
Boots and hat, like he don't give a shit.
He does. He's wearing a white t-shirt. He does not care. He has a highball, a whiskey, like throughout the episode, wherever he is. He's got a drink.
Highball of whiskey, continuous.
Yes. But he does have a little Alex. We get some more Alex stuff with him.
So, you raised the question while we were watching.
And I'm still confused.
Yeah.
Because the last thing we saw, and I have rewatched the show twice since we recorded the podcast, so I'm pretty sure I saw this happen.
No, yeah.
And in the episode, Alex comes to Michael while things are crazy, and Alex is like, we got to talk. And Michael's like, I'll meet you in the morning. We'll talk then. And the way he says it isn't as dismissive as I'm even being. It's more like, you know, is like, I'm, you know, you're my soulmate face. Oh, yes, we can talk in the morning. And then in the morning, he stands Alex up and he has a working hand and he goes, plays guitar and hangs out with Maria. Now, in this episode, Alex gives him a guitar, which is kind of interesting because he doesn't even know he's off playing guitar with Maria. So it shows that he really knows what Michael would do if he had a working hand. But then it does.
It shows a lot of foresight. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, hey, he does. He likes guitar. He hasn't been able to play it since my dad smashed his hand. So then Michael brings Alex back the guitar and is like, I don't want your guitar. And he says, and I think it's Alex says, yeah, I told you I wanted to go be a guitar player. And then I joined the Air Force. Maybe he's talking about back when they were teenagers, like 10 years ago.
So,
but the way he says it is just confusing. Yes,
the way he says it feels like he's talking about right now. That, like, he was going to not go back to the Air Force and instead was going to, like, tour the country as a musician. What it sounded like.
Yes. When I didn't know that was even in the mix. And second from that, it doesn't necessarily, for me, fully track to why you gave your guitar.
Right.
I didn't get that reference.
If you plan on playing more guitar, why are you giving your guitar away?
Yeah. I mean, except that he's you're in love with him and it's a token of love.
Well, sure. And that's all well and good. But then why be like, oh yeah, there's something here we didn't understand.
Yeah, we missed something.
Yeah.
And like I said, I've seen all the episodes, so I don't think it's something
textual.
It is something subtextual I missed. Okay. So, but anyway, then the second gift
Michael. Yeah.
He gives is a folder including a horrible beat up picture of his mom.
Where she's covering her breasts so that we can't
see them
is what I was about to say. But what I mean is she's like clinging on to like her last little bit of dignity. It's like a gross thing that Alex is giving.
And there are bruises all over her face. Mm-hmm. Like, and I get the sentiment of I hacked into this thing until I found your mother's file. I found all the information I could find about her. Here is the information about your mother. That is both a good token of friendship and like a nice thing to do for someone. to not warn them that the first thing when they open it that they're gonna see is an abused picture of their own mother.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta like cherry pick that a little bit. Like, it's okay to redact some of this.
Sure, or just be like, before you look at it, I want you to know there's some things in there you may not want to see. Anything, yeah. But instead, the first thing you open, oh, okay, cool. Thanks, Alex.
This is very upsetting.
It, I mean, and Michael's upset and essentially breaks up with Alex again.
Mm-hmm.
And
then goes to Maria's bar where he proceeds to just like pick fights with people and make out with randos.
He makes out with the rando. I think the picking of the fight was just kind of a fun bonus.
Sure. Here's something that I thought was interesting. When they're talking about it afterwards, when Maria and Michael are talking about it afterwards, she says, you're just making out with a random. Just a random. Not a random girl and not a rando, but a random.
Are you questioning whether that is authentic slang?
I don't. The usage seems odd, is all I wanted to point out.
It is odd. I believe that it is the first time that I heard that was from the movie Clueless.
But that feels like some old slang then.
It might be old, but it could also just be different circles.
You know, also maybe it's just coming back around.
It may be coming back around, but yes, it is not the first time I've heard random used as a noun. And I wonder if I used to say random, but I say rando now for sure.
I mean, if I'm referring to a person that we have like no specific affiliation with, that's definitely a rando.
Right. But if you started saying random, I wouldn't be confused about what you meant.
All right.
Just some random?
Yeah, it still feels like there's another word needed there. I need one more word or one less letter.
All right, well, it's noted.
Thank you.
And that fight is also like, because Liz has a lot of big plot moves. Michael's plot lines are really just about relationships and identifying where he's fucked up. Maria's.
He's not tied into the alien drama, like, at all. Right?
No, I mean, he's there at the end during the autopsy. Because, by the way, this episode, sister comes back to life, grieving the husband. Oh, grieving the dead brother. Oh, by the way, also, we're going to get to an alien autopsy.
Yeah, hell yeah, we are.
It's amazing. So good.
Okay, what do we have to go back to here? We have to...
In this part, we could probably just say it now, because nothing really happens on it, but Maria's mother shows up at the Wild Pony. After Maria gets a call that we see on the screen, the caller ID, for no reason, to say that it's from the nursing home.
Well, and not
our
only
context gives us that pretty clearly.
And also the sequence of events is we see the on-screen graphic that announces it's the nursing home calling. And then we hear the telephone call, which made it obvious and we didn't need to have that on-screen graphic. But then the substance of the call is your mother has escaped or walked away or something. And then she walks through the door. So we didn't need any part of the phone call.
No.
You could just walk in through the door and be like, Mom, you're supposed to be at blah, blah, blah.
100%.
Done.
I think theoretically, and again, all of this could have been fixed in editing or maybe whatever. But like theoretically, I think it's supposed to mirror the end of the episode when Maria again gets a phone call from the home saying your mother left. She's walking towards you, and Maria being like, oh, she'll be here in a second. But
yeah.
She won't.
Because
she's been disappeared, possibly abducted by aliens.
Right. We just see a white light, and then her bracelet is like.
I think it's much more likely that it's like military I mean, I still think she may have been abducted by aliens at some point.
Sure.
But I don't know that this show is going to do beam me up, Scotty stuff. I don't. Maybe.
You think that was the Starship Enterprise that just okay.
And she's like, "Hey, Scotty, what's going on?"
He's like, "Ah, beam ya up."
No, I don't know. Maybe the show will do that.
Yeah, I mean, it would also make sense because it does seem like the there is some military operation happening, sort of on like the fringes of stuff that mm-hmm. we're just starting to like get a clearer view of, right?
Yeah.
Because later when Kyle and Alex are trying to steal the body, steal Noah's body so that they can rip out his heart and jam it into Max. they, you know, they're intercepted, or like they Flint gets there before them, and like he's obviously working with the Air Force, trying like they know more than we are led to believe, right?
Well, we knew that because Alex's dad ran a secret program that was all alien investigation. But, like, we were also led to believe that that program got shut down when the dad got shut down.
Right, but is maybe just... So do we think that Flint is, like, continuing that in, like, an official capacity, or does he just have, like, an axe to grind?
I think he's doing it in an official capacity, but I guess... To me, the question is, who is he getting orders from?
Yes.
And I feel like I bet we'll find out he's getting orders from somewhere. That's my guess. But maybe not.
But if there's like a whole, you know, like Air Force X-Files thing going on in the background that we're only starting to see now, like, I think that's dope.
I think it is too. And especially if it ties into what's going on with Maria's mom and other aliens or other things going on historically. Because, like, yeah, these kids, people who grew up as aliens and once saved someone when he was in his 30s, that's interesting or whatever, but, like, I want more. I want that. Yeah. I want, like, what are the ships? When did they come? Who was on them? And that's another thing that I'm sure we talked about last season, but I'm going to bring it up again because I feel like it's going to play into the Noah of it all. But Noah kind of explicitly says, like, he was in steerage class, or maybe even a like, he essentially says, like, he was in steerage, he was like four,
yeah,
or a foot soldier. I don't know how military the ship was,
he's got a chip on his shoulder.
Yes. And he was like not of the upper classes. Class. Yeah. Versus Max, Isabel, and Michael were definitely in the, you know, the front of the Snowpiercer train,
yes,
to mix the metaphors. So I'm really interested to see how that is, what that means.
Well, and
what that could mean.
So, like, that's one arm of, like, the mythological, like, thing that's happening. And then there's also that Noah is contacting Rosa to be like, well, what is he even trying to communicate? Like, he's just trying to tell her that, like, something is going to happen, right? Or that, like, something
is coming. Well, Noah is saying things to her that he said, some of them at least, Max. He's saying to her that he said to Max.
Right.
So, but I'm still not sure that it's actually Noah in Rosa's head, or if it's Max, if that was how Max was trying to communicate to Rosa.
Sure.
So then,
you know, obviously, like, the episode ends with Max being like, you can't let your sister bring me back to life.
I know.
which is awesome. But, like, that also portends, like, if I do come back to life, something bad happens. Right?
Yes. Something bad happens, or knowing how Max is, someone like Isabel would be in danger, or Liz would be in danger. Like,
yeah,
it would be something bad happens, but what the worst things for him are, I think, anybody of his inner circle being in danger.
See, and what I'm guessing is that it is something like larger than that or more generalized than that. Like if he comes back to life, not just are his like family members going to be in danger, but like, you know, maybe he's been serving as like a beacon and like all the aliens can like find him then and like, you know, destroy the planet and take their aliens back or, you know, something along those lines. Like, I think there's catastrophic consequences to him coming back.
Oh, it's going to be so good.
Yeah,
that turn was so good. It was fun to see Kyle and Alex work together a little bit.
Very briefly.
Try to steal the body.
I think it's funny how like cool Kyle is in all of this, where he's like, all right, I don't know. All right, yeah, we'll sneak your sister in. Oh, she's here. Like, he's surprised to see Rosa, but you know, he's just like, okay, we'll do all the tests we have to.
I know, and he is ready to have like a brother sister conversation with her, like immediately. Yeah. Like, he's like, yeah, I'm not gonna lose my chance to have a sister. And you're like, what? You thought she was dead 20 minutes ago. Everyone adjusts very quickly on the show.
It's okay to take a beat. Well, no, but it's not okay to take a beat because things keep happening. They keep moving along at a steady clip. When Rosa sees the van that Flint is driving and is quickly like, that's probably them. And then just
it's military fun. It's fine.
Just steers into the van.
Oh my God. So good.
It's so good, but it's also so fast. And like moves right into that, like, we need you to help us move a body. Like it's all just very it's all of the biggest, craziest things that would happen on any other TV show just stacked right up against each other.
Well, and skipping the boring parts, because we don't actually see the cars hit each other. We don't see Rosa and Liz climb out of the wreckage or we just cut to, okay, you guys figured it out. They stole the body. So here's what we do.
What do you make of the revelation that the aliens' bodies are like part organic, part technology?
I think it's interesting. It certainly does let Liz have her regenerative medicine connect so closely with her, with her trying to save him. I think I like it. Not to get too spoilery, because now you will actually watch the But on the other Roswell, on the OG, they were created.
Okay.
So they had a purpose, but they were genetically modified in order to live on Earth, and like they are not in the pure alien form that they lived on their home planet.
Yeah.
They're on this so to me it made total sense. I mean, it's very different than how the ones in the original were created, but like it may be like, oh well, then they were probably like technologically hacked to become the beings that can survive on Earth.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
But so I don't know if that's going to be true in this mythology, but it fell into place for me in that way. How did it feel for you?
It felt surprising to me. Mm-hmm. But you know, I like it, and if we can see more, like when they showed the inside of Noah's skin and it was like that like green iridescent, like glowy stuff. Like that's just one of those moments where it all just feels like it works. You know, like yes, I love this. Give me more of this creepy stuff.
I feel like a lot of times in this pilot, they just like were like, "What's the most interesting, cool thing we could do?" Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, correct.
And we still get the beats of like we still get Liz sobbing in the shower because she's so like we still get emotional beats and we still get other things, and we still get a good Michael Alex meaty breakup scene again. But things are moving.
Well, and then we have not yet discussed the stinger, which is that Isabel is pregnant.
Yeah, she is. Or, I didn't see it.
No, neither did I. But like, is she just like regular pregnant, or is there like some?
Well, it's too alien. She can't be regular pregnant.
She's got to be alien pregnant.
She's alien pregnant at the very least, if not like, unless she could be pregnant with Noah.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying, because she keeps saying that, like, she can't, he's always inside of her.
Yeah, she can't escape from
him. Yeah.
Yep. Which, it's funny, because when they showed us the ultrasound earlier in the episode, I was like, that's interesting that they used an ultrasound to figure that out. But I let it slip out of my brain.
Yeah.
And then later they do a shot where you see the ultrasound in the foreground, and I said out loud, I was like, what is that?
Yeah, and I didn't know.
They had shown us the ultrasound, and then it was like, as soon as she picked up the ultrasound, it was like, oh, yeah, that's what we usually see ultrasounds get used for on television.
Right. Also, I don't know why, but it is unnerving to see someone apply the, like, ultrasound machine to their own belly.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is, but I'm just like, no, there should be a doctor there.
You're going to pulse the wrong pulses. Yeah, that whole sequence. So the end of the episode is done to zombie.
Yeah, by the cranberries.
By the cranberries. It's amazing. So we get Max pleading with Rosa to let him stay dead.
Right.
To stop Liz.
Liz explaining how she's not going to let any man hold her down. Which, again, I love this. I love this moment.
And it also really set, because before, if we had had a pre-podcast conversation.
Yes.
About, like, what do I expect from season two? I'd be like, okay, well, we're going to have to, Liz is going to have to figure out how to hide Rosa or figure out Rosa. And we're going to have to get Max back to life. And I guess those things are still true.
But they're so much more complicated.
They're so much more complicated and so much more interesting. Like, the things I thought we were going to see, the show's better than that. So I'm excited.
Although it does seem like we're not too concerned with hiding Rosa. Like, yeah, we are, but it's not like a source of drama. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hope it doesn't. I mean, the fact that she's alive and her dad doesn't know, I don't love that. And it really made me uncomfortable. I hated that scene. It made me just mad. So I hope they figure that part out. And I don't know how to do it.
I mean, this is just like what we were talking about in the episode of Roswell, when, like, everyone else knows the secret and you don't. When you find out, it's only going to hurt.
Yep.
But well, I guess the flip side, Rosa would be back. So, like, it'll hurt.
Yeah, so
your daughter's alive.
Yeah, so you got that going for you. I feel like, I mean, I don't know. There's also the part where Liz kind of lets slip or says to Michael, I think, that Rosa doesn't know that the whole town thinks she's a murderer.
Oh, right.
So that's also a part. Like, she, I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, that's exciting. That's what we want from a show like this one.
Mm-hmm.
Although we also do like it when our beautiful boys make out. That did not happen in this episode.
No, there was no beautiful boy makeouts, but they're coming.
Okay,
I mean,
all right.
We did see him kiss a random, so that was something.
Still feels weird to me.
I'm going to try to make it. It's like fetch. I'm going to try to make it happen. Yeah, I mean, all of the ideas introduced in this episode, I'm into it. Let's go. Yeah, I can't. I want to watch next week's episode right now.
Yeah, well, I think we got to wait.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being on this journey with me.
I'm excited to go on this journey with you, Ryan.
Aww.
Yeah.
I cannot remember how we end the show.
If I recall correctly, you didn't have an ending to the show in the past.
I don't think we need to add one, but yeah, I'm just really psyched. I'm really jazzed up. I don't think I'm going to sleep tonight. I'm just going to think of what I hope season two includes.
I also may not sleep tonight, but that could just be, you know, regular pandemic fears and negative thought spirals. That sort of stuff is happening on the reg, but maybe
you know what I will say. This show, I don't think I thought about the pandemic the entire time we were watching Roswell, New Mexico.
No, you know what? Me neither. Which is weird because as I'm watching everything else now, when people are at a party or like they're out somewhere, I'm like, you're standing too close together. Someone's gonna get sick.
When they're sharing a flask, Kyle.
Yeah. Kyle.
No, oh my God. Grown-up Kyle is both hotter, no offense, young Kyle, but he is hotter and way smarter on the ball.
Yeah, way smarter. All right. All right. This has been fun.
Let's talk next week.
Perfect.
Now, welcome back to Roswell. If you enjoy the show, a review over at Apple Podcasts or follow us on social media. We're at Roswell Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Take care and have a great week.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.